public hearing is subdivision number 2009-10, HP Layton Partnership.
This is a continuation of a public hearing to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, dividing 52.97 acres into 49 lots. Also requesting a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet and being located west of Round Pole Bridge Road, being Road 257, 1,050 feet north of Cave Neck Road, being Road 88. This application was deferred in August 26th of 2010 for the purpose of requesting that the applicant go to the Preliminary Land Use Service, also known as PLUS, with the Office of State Planning Coordination to receive agency comments, which would then require the applicant to respond to those agency comments, and then the Office of State Planning Coordination would give us a final response. That information was received, and therefore we reopened this public hearing.
What we need, just procedurally, just to sort of piggyback on what Mr. Lang said, is there was actually a motion to table the public hearing for the limited purpose of receipt of the PLUS comments and comments on the PLUS comments. So. Two things I want to point out is the first, we need a motion from somebody on the commission to remove this matter from the table so that we can reopen the public hearing in a second and a vote on that. The second thing is, assuming that happens, I'd like to remind the commission and everybody in the office or in the audience that the continuation of this hearing is just limited to the PLUS comments and the issues that were raised in the PLUS comments. We don't want to hear comments all over again. This isn't an opportunity for Mr. Fuqua and the applicants to basically redo their presentation any more than it would be for anybody who made general comments the first time around to redo those comments. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We thank you. And just so that make sure I understand procedurally what we're going to do is assuming that we are reopened, we are going to hear from the applicant. And then we will question, and then the public will be given the opportunity.
Just like
a public hearing, just like any other public hearing would be. Okay. All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, regarding subdivision 2009-10, my motion is that we remove it from deferred or tabled status back to open public hearing.
Second.
Moved and seconded to lift from the table subdivision 2009-10 HP Layton Partnership. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So lifted.
Mr. Chairman, and if I could do one other thing for the record, just for the benefit of the folks here, the documents that have been received that will be part of the record and have been in the file include certainly the minutes from the August 26th meeting, the PLUS comments themselves. There's Environmental Resources Inc.'s response to PLUS comments dated December 1, 2010, and the Engineering Consultants International LLC's response to PLUS comments dated December 30, 2010, and the Office of State Planning Coordination's final response to the applicant's response to PLUS comments dated February 10, 2011. So that's all part of the record. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you.
I do have a
letter. Chair recognizes Mr. Fuqua.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there's one.
We have received one letter in reference to the PLUS comments. It's from the Nature Conservancy. On behalf of the Delaware chapter of the Nature Conservancy, I'm writing to provide additional comments related to the above referenced subdivision application. Anticipated impacts on surrounding and adjoining wetlands remains our principal concern, and we do not believe the proposed 50-foot wetland buffer included in the proposed project design to be adequate to reduce sediment, nutrient, other non-point source pollutants. We request the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission's careful consideration of the October 20th, 2010 Office of State Planning Coordination PLUS review comments. The Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control recommends requiring a minimum 100-foot upland buffer from all water bodies and wetlands as a condition of any variance approval for the property. The Nature Conservancy concurs with this recommendation and requests the commission consider this as a condition if the variance is granted. Thank you for consideration of our comments, and that was signed by Roger L. Jones, State Director.
All right, sir, thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
That's it? Okay. All right, sir. Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I'm representing the applicant, H.P. Layton Partnership. With me tonight is Sam Burke and his son, Lawrence Burke, who are members of the partnership. Ken Coleman, who is the project manager, and Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. As was stated at the conclusion of our public hearing in August, you requested and we agreed that this matter would be taken to PLUS. It was reviewed by PLUS. The documents that have come into the file since then were the documents that were stated, basically the PLUS comments and our response and the PLUS response. As you recall, this application proposes 49 lots on 59 acres. It's on the west side of Round Pole Bridge Road, just east of Milton, and the land is zoned AR1. And I understand that the purpose of this public hearing tonight is for the limited purpose of discussing the PLUS comments, and we will keep our comments to that topic. Again, what I'm going to do is pretty much kind of go right through the PLUS comments kind of in the order they're presented, not necessarily covering everything, but giving a kind of overview of our response. The PLUS comments indicate that the site is located in areas that are designated as levels 2, 3, and 4 under the state strategies for state policies and spending. The level 4 area is an area the state intends for preservation. On our particular site, those level 4 areas correspond to the areas of wetlands on our site, and those areas will not be disturbed. They will be preserved, and there will be a 50-foot buffer provided along those wetland areas. The remainder of the site, which is really the areas where the development is proposed, are in the levels 2 and 3 under the state strategies map. They are areas where development is appropriate according to the strategies. The level 2 area is an area designated as an area where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans in the near future. And the level 3 area, again, is an area where growth is expected in the longer term. As far as the comment that they're consistent with the county plans, the county plan confirms what the state says. This is designated in the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as being in the Milton Town Center District. The Town Center District is designated as a growth area under the comp plan. The comp plan states on page 3-13 and 14 of the comp plan that significant growth is proposed to be clustered around incorporated municipalities in unincorporated areas just beyond municipal borders. The county plan states that a range of housing types are appropriate in town centers, including single family, townhouses, and multifamily. And the comprehensive plan states that medium to high density residential is encouraged, and that density could range from 4 to 12 acres, or 4 to 12 homes per acre. Our application, of course, is significantly under those recommendations. The subdivision obviously only proposes single family lots, and the density of this application is less than one lot per acre. So again, it's significantly less than the uses and densities that are authorized by the comprehensive plan. As to the DelDOT comments, as you know, this development only proposes 49 lots. That would be at build out, and that would not result in a significant traffic impact. In accordance with the DelDOT policy, the applicant has contributed to the a required fee to DelDOT's area-wide study program. DelDOT will complete an area-wide study program or study when DelDOT decides that it is needed based on development in the area. So this application has complied with what DelDOT requested. As to the initial DENREC comments, a wetland delineation was performed by Environmental Resources, Mr. Linnae, using the three-parameter approach that's required by the Army Corps of Engineers. That's a study of the soils, the vegetation, and the hydrology of the site, a survey of the wetland boundaries, and a detailed wetland delineation report was prepared and submitted to the Philadelphia District Corps of Engineers Office. Environmental Resources identified 8.43 acres of federal regulated wetlands on the site, basically located along the Broadkill River and the two streams that drain into the Broadkill from the east. The subdivision has been designed so that not only are the wetlands or no wetlands located within any lot lines, which it basically is not permitted, but the required 50-foot buffer from state-regulated tidal wetlands has been expanded upon and basically is created a situation where a minimum 50-foot buffer from all wetlands, tidal wetlands and federally regulated wetlands, will be provided. And Mr. Lene will discuss that further. There's a comment in here about TMDLs, or total maximum daily load requirements. As the comments state in the plus letter, DENREC indicates that a completion control strategy for the Broadkill watershed has not been completed or implemented by DENREC. So there is no pollution control strategy in effect. However, we are committed to utilizing best management practices in regards to the site's stormwater management. And probably most importantly, there will be no on-site wastewater systems. As we previously stated at the public hearing, Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. owns and operates the wastewater treatment facility that's located in the town of Milton. Tidewater has confirmed that it is willing and able to provide sewer service to this development from that facility. So this will be served by public sewer. And the utilization of the central sewer, public sewer, will substantially reduce any TMDL impact. And additionally, as it's indicated in the plus letter, this site is within the public water service area that's been granted to Tidewater Utilities. That's per a certificate of public convenience and necessity. So the development will have water for domestic use and fire protection provided by Tidewater Utilities. The standard fire marshal comments are in the letter. This development will comply with all water requirements and access requirements that are provided by the fire marshal's letter. And as to the Department of Agricultural comments, again, this proposed development will comply with the agricultural use notice requirements as well as agricultural setback requirements provided by both state and county law. Now, the items that I've addressed up to this point are requirements from the PLUS agencies, requirements that I would say we comply with or we're in accordance with. All of the rest of the PLUS comments come under a heading. If you look at your PLUS comment letter, they come under a heading, recommendations and additional information. And I think it's very important to keep in mind what PLUS states about the remainder of these comments. And this is found at the top of, you know, of page 11 of the ECI response, which tracks the PLUS comments, or I believe it's in the middle of page 10 of the original PLUS comments. So this is what PLUS states, and I'll quote this. Recommendations/additional information. This section includes a list of site-specific suggestions that are intended to enhance the project. These suggestions have been generated by the state agencies based on their expertise and subject area knowledge. These suggestions do not represent state code requirements. They are offered here in order to provide proactive ideas to help the applicant enhance the site design, and it is hoped, but in no way required, that the applicant will open a dialogue with the relevant agencies to discuss how these suggestions can benefit the project. The emphasis I added to those statements was not my own. It's the emphasis that's in the PLUS letter, basically emphasizing that state code does not require these. These are just recommendations and suggestions, and they are not required. Now, that being said, in designing this and in basically coming up with our conditions. We are trying to address these as best we can. The rest of these comments that I just referred to, Ed Lene basically submitted a letter, and he's going to summarize the comments that he made as to the remainder of the plus comments. So Ed, if you could come up and take over from here.
I have a question for you, Mr. Fuqua. In your presentation, you made reference to me that sounded like several of the provisions in the comprehensive land use plan and in the manner in which you were conforming with that. Do you feel that the commission is within their rights to rely on the land use plan to approve or deny your application based on the statements you made?
Are you in, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Do you feel that the commission is within its rights to rely on the force of law of the land use plan to approve your application as the basis for the statements that you made stating that you were in conformance with it?
Well, as you know, the land use plan is law, and it is something that has to be considered and interpreted.
Okay. Very well. All right, who's next?
I'm Ed Lene. I'm a principal with Environmental Resources Incorporated, and I was an environmental consultant for the project, and I've made a thorough assessment of the property, and I tried to look at the plus comments and basically break all those comments down into about six or seven topics, which I'd just like to touch upon what the applicant's response was. First is, I guess, the issue of historic resources, and as we've previously heard, the portion of the site was the location for a brick-making operation that operated between 1887 and 1929. A review of the 1937 historical area photographs for the site indicates that the brick-making facility was largely located in about a two-acre area that was at the corner of the Queen Anne Railroad bed at that time, which is on the southerly edge of the property and the Round Pole Branch Road. Currently, the ruins are 80 plus years old since the last operation and are pretty much overgrown and clearly in an unstable, deteriorated condition. Irregardless of that, I think the Leightons recognize that, you know, the brick making operation has some importance in understanding the economic and socioeconomic history of the Milton area. And clearly there should be some effort made to document that as a resource. Oftentimes, I guess in my role, I've had a number of projects in Sussex County where there's been somewhat similar historic or maybe a World War II site where, you know, commonly the documentation of the site is done and it's put in an historic record. And, you know, essentially, I think in the case of this site, I mean, we have some brick ruins out there that are in a condition that really, I don't think there's any chance that those would be restored or renewed back to their original condition. So the Leightons, you know, in the plus comments have agreed to basically enter into an agreement with the state agencies to allow access to the site for the brick-making operation be studied and documented. All they'll ask is that they be held harmless, just in terms of injury or liability from archaeologists working on the site. We'd also like to consider as part of the project to arrange through the state archives to have a historic marker placed. And, you know, obviously when the archaeological report was done, that would become part of the local historic record. The plus comments also mentioned as another feature on the site, which was apparently a landing, some type of historic landing that may have been present. And as in so far as that, we've looked carefully at 1937 and a 1906 photographs. And what those indicate, and along with a review of the actual site conditions of the property, is that where a landing might have occurred to the river is actually a half mile to the west of this site. There's no indication from any historic records or maps that there was a landing on this particular property. And the other thing that I'd reiterate is essentially you have a 200 or 300 foot band of tidally flowed forested wetlands that separate the upland edge from the waterfront. So there's physically really no place where a landing ever could have occurred. I guess the last historic or feature was that the Plus Comets made mention that someone had mentioned to one of the archaeologists that this idea that of a sailor's path that went through the site. And again, you know, we've tried to look at 1937 photographs and the 1906 USGS topographic map to try to determine whether or not there's evidence of a sailor's path. I couldn't really find any apparent features. There's some indications that there were some paths related to the brick making operation, but we really couldn't find that there was any evidence of the sailor's path. And then I guess the issue with the sailor's place is a little similar to the landing. If I could get a map and just point out. We were discussing the kind of the layout of the wetlands and the drainage ways on the site. And of course, the Broadkill River is up here to the north. And the easterly property line is actually a pretty wide, this is only half of it. This is more or less the center line of the stream, of a stream that goes from the road all the way to the river. And you can see that just even the state, how wide the state wetlands area is, you know, which is this area shown in green, that actually extends all the way over to here. There's no bridge, there's no fill, there's no ability for any person to reasonably walk along the edge of the river and basically traverse and get across this stream corridor. Secondly, there's another stream corridor that surrounds this node of the property. This is actually kind of a drainage way that has some wetlands. This is a drainage way, and as it approaches here, this becomes a very steep upland on either side and a very wet perennial stream course that runs all the way to the river. So again, you know, physically, there might be records of people walking in certain areas, but, you know, an idea that there was some sort of sailor's path that could go back and forth across these properties just isn't borne out by the geographical features that people would have to cross. Mr. Fuquay touched the other, you know, one of the other topics was just pointing out that there was potentially state and federally regulated wetlands on the property. As he stated, we've done a thorough wetland delineation of the site using the Corps' three-parameter approach. We determined that there are 8.4 acres of the 58-acre site are regulated wetlands. As I kind of pointed out to you, the wetlands are associated with the about a 200 to 300-foot wide area of wetlands along the Broadkill River with two unnamed stream courses, which are very well geographically defined by the topography on this site. In other words, the stream quarters are low-lying areas and the adjacent lands generally rise pretty abruptly to a higher, more well-drained upland area. All the state tidal wetlands were put on the plans in accordance with the tidal wetland map number 134, which is what the state uses to determine their jurisdiction. The other thing that we've done out there is actually subaqueous lands are the underwater portions of the property, the streams and the drainage ways that are subject to regulation by DENREC as a subaqueous lands. We basically conducted a field visit with DENREC last summer where they came out and approved all those boundaries, and those are the boundaries that are represented on the plans. In terms of wetlands impacts, which was, you know, another topic of the plus comments. There are no wetland impacts proposed on any lot. There is going to be a need for a crossing right here between the frontage of lots 45 and 46. Currently, that crossing would cross federally regulated wetlands only, and the intention right now is that we would build that as a pile-supported bridge structure. And as such, since there wasn't any discharge of dredge or fill material, that wouldn't be a regulated activity by the Corps of Engineers. It wouldn't require a permit from them, as long as it was a pile-supported structure. We may consider doing that as a partial fill road and with a box culvert. That may be considered at one point in time, and if that's the case, we would get that could be authorized through obtaining a nationwide permit from the Corps of Engineers, which we would do. There's approximately 700 feet of wetlands and shoreline along the Broghill River. It is shown on the site plan to have a possible community pier, and that does require a pretty long pier to get access to the river. Again, that would be subject to getting a wetlands permit from the Wetlands and Subaqueous Lands Branch in DENREC. If we elect to do the pier, we would apply, and I think the DENREC comments are well noted that generally they're not too favorable on making decisions where pier lengths might be over a 50-foot length. So again, that would be a separate process. As one alternative, the Department of Parks and Recreation had recommended connecting a trail system maybe in lieu of the pier to connect with the Nature Conservancy property. And again, as I kind of pointed out to you, the issue with that is there's a pretty wide stream corridor that goes along the east side of the site, and we wouldn't want to impact that. So, you know, I don't think we would follow up on that. We don't think that's a practical suggestion. And also it would involve, you know, the Nature Conservancy land. So we didn't think that was a meritorious suggestion. The plus comments noted that some comments about the soils that occupied the site, and they indicated that there were hydric soils in the site. And in fact, there are hydric soils in the Manahawkin and Long Marsh series on the site. Both of those, however, we're aware of that, and both of those soil types lie completely in the area that we've delineated as state and federally regulated wetlands. So in terms of impacts to hydric soils, there really wouldn't be any, because again, we've essentially avoided those areas. You know, the remainder of the site basically consists of well-drained soils that are well-suited to development and well-elevated in relation to the adjacent stream corridors. There was a topic in regard to buffers, and again, I'd make mention that the county requires a 50-foot buffer from state-regulated wetlands and perennial stream courses, and of course, that buffer has been provided. Brickyard Landing is voluntarily providing a buffer expanded to 50 feet landward of all federally regulated wetlands, and that also includes any state-regulated subaqueous lands. So any regulated stream course areas where there might not be delineated as a state wetland, we provided a 50-foot buffer from those as well. I'd like to point out that none of the lot areas include any portion of the 50-foot buffer that's being provided or the 30-foot wide agricultural buffer which has been provided around a project perimeter. In regard to forest preservation, the 53-acre site is currently forested. Even the brick making operation has been, you know, over the years has become a forest again. 22.5 acres of the project are dedicated to open space, and that will remain as forest. Roads and stormwater management require approximately 7 acres of clearing, and that leaves approximately 23.5 acres, which are located within the lots. Since there's no, since the site's going to be serviced by a public sewer, there's no clearing necessary for wastewater areas on lots. And according with that, we've estimated that cleared for home sites could easily be limited to approximately 8 acres. This could leave as much as 38 acres of the site remaining as forested. And clearly at a minimum, you know, the forested area that would remain on the site, it will clearly be more than half. The Office of State Planning also provided several comments about habitats of concern on the site, and they mentioned two. And one was Atlantic white cedar, which is a type of tree that is basically would be found along the river frontage, and there are Atlantic white cedar on the property. They're in the kind of the, it's a tidally flowed freshwater wetland that borders the Broad Hill River. That's where the Atlantic white cedar is. And, you know, essentially, once again, we're going to stay out of those areas and avoid any impact to Atlantic white cedar. We've and provided a buffer. The other habitat they mentioned was a scrub shrub wetland habitat. And essentially that habitat occupies this portions of this stream quarter here, and part of it is found on this property, but again, none of that is going to be impacted, and we've provided at a minimum more than a 50-foot buffer. The Office of State comment also made a couple comments about some I want to stress state rare and insect species. There's no federally records of any federally listed threatened or endangered species on this property. And those mentions were because there's several of these rare species. I'm not going to go into too much detail. We're located on the McCabe Preserve, which is a Nature Conservancy property. We did a review of the life history and found that for those species and found that the habitat requirements are pretty much for our old field type of habitats, which are habitats that are found on McCabe property, old field edges and that type of a setting. And that type of habitat really isn't on present on the Brickyard property. So we don't feel as though that, you know, that's of particular importance in the case of the project. I guess the last topic that that was brought up in the plus comments and we responded to was a topic of drainage. And as I've stated, the upland portions of the Brickyard Landing site are well-drained, elevated, gently sloping land. Unlike many locations in the county, drainage ditches are not necessary and are not present on the site. Currently, any runoff is directed to natural tributary courses on the site and their associated wetlands, and that existing drainage pattern will be maintained and not altered by the proposed development. After construction, treated stormwater will still be directed toward these natural drainage ways. The last subject I wanted to address, and we addressed it in the comments, was some concerns, and I think you heard a little bit about this at the previous hearing, and I wanted to discuss it a little bit. It was some concerns about off-site drainage, and I think it involved the Mr. Markle's property, and there's an adjacent property, the Betts property. And right here, there is again one of the stream courses that we've talked about that has at least some wetlands component up to about this point. And if you look on the USGS map, it actually shows some topography in the feature which indicates that there's a drainage way. It may not be a wetland, but it's a drainage way. It comes from Cave Neck Road all the way through this part of the property. And essentially right here is the railroad bed of the Queen Anne's Railroad, the historic railroad bed. And half of the railroad bed, about half of the railroad bed, is on the Brickyard Landing property, and about the other half is on, belongs to these adjacent owners to the south. And, you know, essentially, because of this undulating topography. There's loathing, and the fact that this historically was a natural drainage way. There's parts of where the railroad bed essentially create more or less like a dam. And I think there was concerns that occasionally water backs up on this side of the railroad bed. Mr. Layton indicated that, I guess in the early 90s, he was approached by Mr. Betts to help, you know, resolve some of their drainage concerns and drainage problems, and he allowed, gave his permission that a pipe could be put right here through the railroad bed. And in fact, it was. There's a pipe there. It's approximately about a 20-inch PVC pipe that goes through there, and it provides a drainage outlet because of for this land over here, because it's basically, essentially, again, the railroad bed is like a dam. So, I guess I wanted to point out, we're not, the drainage is going this way. There's no way that the Brickyard Landing Project contributes to any drainage this way. The flow is all this way. And we wanted to indicate that, the Laytons are more than willing to cooperate on any improvements that the upstream owners would like to make. I mean, it could even involve removing part of the railroad bed rather than even putting a pipe there. I also want to indicate that we don't have any lots at that point. So there's no lots proposed. That's an open space area. So again, if there's solutions for the upstream owners, the Laytons are, willing to cooperate in any fashion necessary. And I think that concludes our comments on the state comments. Thanks.
Yeah, gentlemen, I just have I have some proposed findings and conditions, which is to slightly amend the set that I handed in at the public hearing. Which I'll give to Mr. Lang.
Thanks, sir.
And in conclusion, I think as shown, the application addresses all of the concerns that are raised in the PLUS comments. It incorporates the principal suggestions made by the PLUS agencies. The site, as I stated, is located in an area designated by both the state and the county for residential development. The proposed density is less than that authorized by the comprehensive plan. The development will be served by public water and sewer utility companies. There's no on-site wells or on-site wastewater treatment or discharge. And the proposed use is a permitted use under the site's current AR1 zoning designation. Lawrence Burke's great-grandfather purchased the property back in 1932. It's been in the family for the past 79 years. It's certainly our position this application exceeds all ordinance requirements and is entitled to your approval. I do want to state that the conditions I submitted do contain among the several conditions that a 50-foot buffer from wetlands, both state and federal, I just used the word wetlands in there, but that's all wetlands, will be provided, and that's a 50-foot buffer from the wetland line to any lot line. Again, a minimum 50-foot buffer. And also there's a condition that the applicant will basically cooperate with the state to do an archaeological study. It would probably be our preference that the lands to be studied would be leased to the state for $1 a year, and then and liability and hold harmless agreement would be entered into. So that would conclude our response to the PLUS comments, and if there are any questions, we'll be happy to try to answer them.
All right, sir. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
I've read the PLUS report, and you did a good job explaining it. You did mention one thing on the bridge between 45 and 46, and you said it could possibly lend to a lock of some kind, a locked culvert, I think.
A block. We could do a culvert or a box culvert, regular pipe or like a box.
Just real quick, sir.
Box culvert.
Just so we pick that up on the record, I need you to come forward. Sorry. I'm not sure the tape would pick it up from back there.
Hey, why don't you explain what a box culvert is?
A box culvert, it would be similar. It's basically just a big casting, and it may be a casting of a box. So, in other words, you might have an opening that's 6 by 6 feet, and then that it essentially just acts like a big pipe. So it's just a cast box, or it may just be three-sided and they would draw piles and it would set on the piles.
It's not going to hold any water back.
No, no. The idea is to make if it isn't a bridge, we would want to have that to be a very sufficiently sized opening. Again, because we don't want the same situation that's happened with the railroad bridge to happen.
And then it's basically concrete with a hole in it.
Right. It's basically a big concrete, just a big concrete rectangle that just acts like a huge pipe.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
I have no question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. No questions.
Mr. Fuqua, you mentioned that the natural drainage is going to be used on the site. No, there's no need. It's all naturally drained. But the site has these clay pits, which aren't naturally drained. Water kind of tends to sit in there when we have rain events, and it seeps down over time. What's going to drain those clay pits?
I'm not qualified to answer that. Draining of the clay pits? Can you repeat that? The question, as I understood it, was the stormwater management would be handled through drainage, but if water accumulates in the clay pits, how would that be drained?
Kent Coleman, project manager.
Good job.
Melbourne Delaware. The clay pits are currently full of water. So any accumulated water would just basically replace water that's already in there, flow over the top of them. The project will be designed for quality treatment because this is a tidal discharge. So we don't have to have large ponds to detain and treat water. We'll be utilizing bioswales, small sediment areas, just to clean up the water and then release it to the natural pass where it already goes down.
Perfect. That's all I wanted. Thank you. No further questions.
Okay, then.
No questions.
And it's Mr. Lang.
No questions.
Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Council.
No questions. Thanks.
All right, sir. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone from the public that wishes to comment on the testimony that's been presented in regard to the plus comment. Is there anyone here who would like to speak? Yes, sir. All the way in the back in the green. Step right up.
Name's John P. Reed. Live on Round Pole Bridge, 27394. I beg to differ with the gentleman on far as the brickyard landing and the sailor's path. I can take you back to the brickyard landing and show you the old pilings where the sailors pulled up. My grandfather was born in 1883 and died in 1973. My father was born in 1910 and died in, he's been dead 10 years or so. It was in 86 he died. So they would know they lived there all their lives. Also on the what they're talking about, the no backup of the water that comes from Mr. Betts' property also comes from across Cave Neck Road, goes clear to Diamond Horse Farm Road, which runs into Walker Road. Walker Road feeds part of the development that Pret Dyer, Joe Reed, and them are doing over there. It feeds down, comes across, and this way, and feeds in. Also, Mr. Burke owns Sussex Electric. The water that comes from Cave Colony comes through by Sussex Electric and feeds on, is this the railroad there, sir?
Yeah, that's the railroad.
Feeds down here and comes in this way to it across the Carey property. Matter of fact, part of the railroad bridge or the railroad there has been washed out where the pipe was behind Sussex Electric. There are also, this is Tidewater, they're going to be tied to. Tidewater is going to do a development across from Sussex Electric. They're going to put the sewer plant, supposedly was going to put it there, and there's going to be a development there. So the more perforated surface you got, the more water you're going to be feeding to these branches that feeds into the broadkill. So over a period of years, also, also included on Round Pole Bridge. It crosses the road here that Mr. Hopkins' property puts up to me and crosses over Pole Bridge into that. That also feeds off 88, comes from Wagons and Stell Carey Farm, and feeds down. I've been lived in this area 60 years. I'll be 61 in May. What separates Mr. Burke's property and the Nature Conservatory, when I was a kid, when you crossed the sailor's path, it wasn't that wide. The branch wasn't that wide. It has expanded because of the water, and it's got water, and it's got water. And you're putting more water there. The more development you put into this property, the more you're going to have it. Also, the gentleman said they're not going to clear as much. Well, you got a development you approved. It's called Pintail Point on Hudson Road. They come over here. I sat in on the hearing, and they said they would not clear no more woods than is necessary. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if I buy a lot on this property right here, and I don't want a tree one on that lot, I'm going to clear it. I own that lot. They've done it down to Pintail Point, and it all feeds into Beaver Dam. The clay holes that is on this part here runs back to here, all these in here. Once you put your road in, and then you build set your house back, they're all going to be sitting in holes as far as one other. Like, I've walked all this in my life and fooled on it and everything. Everything from all this in here is real narrow. Once you put that road in, you leave a buffer between Mr. Rogers, and then you set your house back off the street so far. You're going to be down in these clay holes. There, it's like that. A while ago, one of the gentlemen asked about the water laying in there. Yes, there is water lays in there. Plus, also, in these, when I was a kid, the first owner of the property that butts it to where Mr. Roger owns now was named Mr. Panuski. When Mr. Panuski died, it was Sizemore's bought the property. It turned into a legal dump site. And probably a lot of you people know what I'm talking about. Years ago, you just pulled in the woods and dumped. So, biggest part of these are filled with trash.
Sir, just real quick, two things. One is, I'm going to ask that you direct your comments to the commission, first of all, just because that's how the rules say we have to operate. We're getting a little far afield of the plus report and the plus comments. That's why the hearing was postponed from August to today, just for the limited purpose of dealing with the state's plus comments. I don't mean to diminish what you said, but I think a lot of this has already been said at the prior hearing, and that's when the opportunity to go into more general issues was. We'd like you to keep it to the comments that were issued by the Office of State Planning Coordination, because that's the purpose of today's hearing.
All right. No problem. Well, like I said, what they're addressing far is there was no brickyard landing. Yes, there was a landing there. There's pilings at low tide, I can show you. Far as a sailor's path, yes, there is a sailor's path on her. Far as drainage issues, you will have drainage issues because all the water on the plus, as you said, as the plus, is going to come from the development, the tide water bought out there, which they cannot use even for a sewer plant because it's underwater on Sam Lucas development, and it feeds through there on Cave Neck Road. Because I worked to the highway, and this is not getting off subject. I worked to the highway. The pipe has already been replaced at Sussex Electric once because it was too small. It's been replaced at 88, which feeds behind and feeds there to the railroad bed where they expanded that. Basically, as far as anything else, in the historical part of the brickyard, yes, there's the old chimney can be saved. There's part of the brick house that is still stable. It is not total in disarray. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Anyone? Yes, sir, Mr. Tyler.
My name is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. And I based my comments on the letter that I got on December 30th, 2010. I don't know. It seems like what I heard tonight was a little different than what I read in the first comments that from the PLUS. So I'm going to be basing my comments on that. But I've seen other things where they required a 100-foot buffer, and they're saying, well, we're going to do a 30-foot buffer or a 50-foot buffer. I know you'll scrutinize it. I don't think I need to reiterate things and repeat things that you're able to understand and read. But I want you to understand that my comments are based on some of the blatant comments on the historic nature, where they said, to reiterate comments made at the PLUS meeting, at the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, it is the owner-developer's position that the project is not a historic site suitable for preservation. So they're the kind of things I'm basing my comments on. So if you'll permit me to read that,
sure.
And if I sound like I may have not listened, I was listening. But I think some of those things still exist in the comments for recommendation that the PLUS process produced.
And that, just to be clear, that was the letter that I think you're referring to as part of the record, which was their written responses to the PLUS comments, so that's appropriate.
Okay. Read away.
Okay. The Citizens Coalition has reviewed the PLUS comments and the developer's response, and we still believe that the application by Leighton's partnership 2009-8, known as Brickyard Landing, to divide 52 acres into 40, lacks sufficient detailed information to gain recommendation by planning and zoning and approval by county council. We contend that the property has historic significance and that the number of lots are sited on unstable land not suitable for development. Further, we hold that this development is beyond the character of the adjoining community and does not follow the intent of the comprehensive land use plan. People might have said that the Roman Colosseum was run down and overgrown, but it was not demolished, even though it's on prime land in Rome. Likewise, it's difficult to understand why the developer will not admit that this property is a historic site. Again, I'm basing it on what I read here. According to Scharf's, I have a copy of Scharf's. It's a two-volume, real fat book called The History of Delaware, Volume 2, page 1266, published in 1888, and I quote, "The Milton Brick Manufacturing Company opened a yard a short distance from town, Milton, in September 1887. They proposed to manufacture 200,000 bricks per month and be in operation 7 months per year. Employment is given to 15 men," end quote. The nearby Queen Anne's Railroad also bears historic provenance, adding to the historic nature of this site. And finally, the site's proximity to the Broadkill and the historic Sailor's Walk or Sailor's Path, once used by shipbuilders and merchant seamen as a riverside route to Milton, is adjacent to the site. Not historic, says who? The lack of substance in ECI's PLUS refute shows an obvious ignorance of the historic value of the site. Again, I'm basing it on the paragraphs in bold that was in that ECI letter. Regarding DelDOT's comments and the ECI response, there appears to be some confusion regarding the area-wide traffic study, and we're concerned the traffic impact has not been determined in an appropriate manner. According to ITE standards, the development of 49 homes will generate 931 trips a day. We believe the traffic issue remains unresolved. As I noted in my August 26 testimony, Round Pole Bridge Road is part of the American Discovery Trail, a federally endorsed and supported route extending across the nation from Cape Henlopen State Park to Point Reyes, California. It's a delightful stretch of natural vistas and farmland that make this beautiful segment in Delaware memorable to all who use it. Regarding TMDLs and the developer's response, we question the phrase, no significant impact. How is this measured, and so far, we did not see any guarantee that Tidewater will accept wastewater because the volume we feel may not be sufficient to warrant extension of service from the site to the treatment plant. Further, the developer offers no guarantee that the Broadkill River will not be recipient of any effluent under any circumstances. We restate our concerns that we raised in our original testimony. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, the Round Pole Branch of the Broadkill, from the headwaters to its confluence with the Upper Broadkill River, contains serious amounts of bacteria and has been listed as failing Federal Clean Water Act standards since 2008. About the clay pits, too, I was talking to another local, and he said to me, have you seen those clay pits? I said, well, I've been by them. He said, they're never going to be able to fill them, and they're filled with junk and water. Just to reiterate what Pete Reed said, you know, they are pretty expansive and pretty, I think they're a real hazard. Hundreds of acres of farm preservation and farmers do not need a residential community which would significantly increase vehicular traffic. The plus comments state, and I quote, normal agricultural uses and activities conducted in a lawful manner are preferred, end quote. The tone of the comments exhibits a concern for farm use and the negative impact that this development could have on agriculture, an $8 billion industry in Delaware worthy of protection. Citizens Coalition and its many household members who for more than 16 years have presented before you and County Council concern for managed growth, sustainable development, and responsible land use believe this application should not proceed as designed. Although not specifically addressed by the plus comments, we continue to be concerned with the topography of the site, wetlands, trash and debris dumped in the existing and covered over clay pits, and for wildlife habitat. We believe planning and zoning should recognize the incongruity of this development on this land and urge the developer to resubmit a significantly downsized development only on stable soils and begin to preserve the last vestiges of a historic brick manufacturing facility. Respectfully submitted, me. I'll give it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll make sure
hand it
out. Yeah,
thanks.
Right. So my comments, you know, were based just on the recommendations and the responses that I read, and many were just cursory lines that see our previous comments, or we already said that. So that's why I based my comments, and I hope you don't think I was being disrespectful.
No, nope, not okay. At all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. Step right up.
Gentleman Johnny Hopkins, live property just to the east of proposed development. Just a couple things I'd like to expand a little bit on what Mr. Reed started on, water. We're just to the east. We were made to put a 42-inch culvert pipe in, and directly after that, the state highway put a 42-inch to feed underneath the road. So it drains our property along with, you know, a good distance away. Anyway, since we've been there, we've actually lived there, owned the property for a long time, but since we've lived there a year and a month, I've seen the 42-inch pipe full many times. Just a couple things I'd like to bring to your attention that maybe, you know, as far as this development goes, that the 50-foot buffer is probably not going to be enough. If this development is allowed, that, as Mr. Reed was saying, that thing's going to continue to widen as we dump more water from these households. The additional roofs, rain gutters, what have you, is going to cause that feed to the Broad Hill to significantly widen. I've seen my pipe full. You know, their water is going to back my water up and turn right upstream. So that is going to widen. So that's one request I'd like, you know, for your consideration to at least look into widening that buffer zone. That's one. As far as the clay pits and sort of using those as retention ponds, you're holding water in there, you're replenishing it, you're replacing it until such time it builds up enough to dump over and spill naturally into some sort of treatment or same thing, mosquitoes, insects, things like that. I mean, so is there a plan in effect for that? I hate to be petty. Just to close, it's hard for me to stand up here and ask a man not to develop or have the right to develop his own land. It goes against some of my values, but you know, nobody wants anything in their backyard. So I'd like you to consider to downsize this significantly, bring back something a little more legitimate instead of trying to pack so much into a space that's already has many issues, many problems. Many things to deal with. There's so many developments out there now with lots and things that don't have these types of issues. It just seems silly to add one like this. So thank you for your consideration. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Who's next? All the way in the back in the purple.
Good evening, my name is Linda Rogers and we own the property on the interior part of this proposed development. I have one thing. Milton's land use plan that was adopted, I believe, is incorrect in being presented to you that it is town center. I believe if you call the town, you will find that it is not. So the statement that 12 units per acre and such a thing, which town center also allows for commercial. I happen to have been on planning and zoning at the time the revision was started, but I wasn't there due to unforeseen circumstances at the time it was completed, and a lot of the people in that area had requested to not even be in their development plan, but the powers that be with the town of Milton saw fit to do it. But I believe if you call the town, or I could do it, or whatever, you would find that this is not proposed to be town center. We do operate a farm. We have an equestrian farm. I still have concerns about the entranceway to this development. Just last week, I had 18-wheeler bring in a load of shavings. I've got fertilizer vehicles coming in this month. I will also be having baling equipment coming in to bale our hay, plus horse trailers occasionally go in and out. So I do have great concerns about this proposed entrance and how it cuts off the access to our property. Also, there are drainage issues with this property, and some of this proposed development property drains in our direction. Had you come to visit me last night, you would have had to cross a stream to get to my house where the water was straining this way. It does have a clay base, it does have poor drainage, and if you look at some of these lots, some of the lots actually protrude out into these craters, and the house is going to sit on an edge of a crater. What are they going to do, build a deck out over the crater, over a pond? I mean, there's a lot of issues with this property. I'm not against people having a right to develop, but there is such a thing as overdevelopment of a piece of ground. And I would appreciate you taking time to really look at how much they're trying to pack on this one little piece of ground and the issues with the topography and the historic value of this site. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, who's next?
Good evening, I'm Kevin Burdett. I live at 26177 Deep Branch Road. In regards to the application that was submitted to PLUS at the last hearing, I was here, and I did happen to attend the PLUS hearing the day it was in Dover. The plans that were submitted to PLUS were not the plans that you gentlemen saw the last time you were here. And it was my understanding, and I guess it'll be Mr. Robertson's determination, whether changes in those items were allowed. For example, at our last meeting here before you gentlemen, it was on-site wells, central sewer. When it went to PLUS, however, it became central water, central sewer. Obviously a difference, and I believe the difference may have occurred because of Mr. Lank's clarification for them during that last meeting that they must have one-acre lots should they happen to have single wells on central sewer. Equally, and that application, when it was submitted to PLUS, clearly shows public utility for water, public utility for sewer, and that was not the testimony that was given to you gentlemen last time we were here. As well, in going through the information that was submitted to PLUS and the responses, we talk about the Deldot letter of no objection and the entrance location that had been submitted. In looking at the package that had been submitted to you gentlemen, I think you will find on the Deldot LONO that the fee schedule that was attached was not for this necessarily for this project. It talked about a commercial one lot with a $500 plus one lot at $20. $520 was submitted to Deldot. I'm not sure why, but it was not the package that went on up the road. Secondly, on the water supply, we've talked about that. The floodplain elevations, I have tried my best, and I would ask you gentlemen perhaps to look as well. If you look at the plans, and in particular on lot number 45 and 46, I have heard this evening the statement made that we're going to keep at least 50 feet, and I've also heard 100-foot buffers to the wetlands. However, if you look at lot 45, you'll notice that that property line for the lot is not 50 feet from the wetland line, nor is the one on 46, nor is the tip of the corner on lot 28. So that testimony, both here this evening again and the testimony that was given to PLUS, is not correct according to the drawings that were submitted and you have in your files. As Mrs. Rogers has already stated, at the PLUS hearing, it was talked about the agricultural, that this project would not hinder any of the existing agricultural activities going on in the vicinity. However, if you look at page 5 of the drawings, you will clearly note that Layton's Way cuts off the existing 20-foot prescriptive right-of-way, and of that 20 feet, you have probably about 6 feet left. You have an island in part of it, you have curb and gutter in part of it, and then you have a sidewalk. Now, I may not be the smartest light bulb in the pack, but it's real tough to get a combine or cutters up a 6-foot area. Ironically, on the drawings, it says private road, private access. Well, private is private. And they would only have limit to the 6 foot to go up there without going down the development streets and or names. And it's their information. Private is private. Privately maintained, private access, private roads. As well as the testimony that was presented both here this evening and at PLUS, it was that we were going to have central sewer. According to Ordinance 38, pump stations would be applied. However, when you look at the clearing diagram, which they have included in their response back to you of the areas that were going to be cleared, there are no pump stations shown. And if you look at the elevations between the road and the proposed buildable sites, there is definitely a lower site elevation in your buildable areas because some of those homes do lie in the crater pits.
I'm going to object to this. And this is supposed to be comments on the PLUS comments. He's rehashing the entire opposition on the original hearing. It's not why we were here tonight. This is unfair to the applicant.
Excuse me, Mr. Fuqua.
No, you're not excused.
Okay, both of you, stop just a minute. Counsel?
To the extent that he's been referencing testimony that was made at the PLUS hearing, I mean, that's what this is all about. I think we can allow.
It's entirely appropriate if he's talking about the PLUS hearing.
Location of pump stations?
I think what he was referring to is the, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but he's referring to the statement and the differences between whether it was central water and central sewer or on-site septic or on-site wells. I think it wants.
No, sir. It says in your comments back that you're going to build pump stations per Ordinance 38.
Mr. Fuqua, would you please be seated? I don't need you guys standing up here together. Okay, thank you. And I understand that you're concerned. What I understand the gentleman to be talking about is things that were put forth at the PLUS hearing.
Or, in the, it sounds like, that or, are in the PLUS response.
Or in the PLUS response versus what we might have seen other times. And frankly, I think it's appropriate. He's talking about the PLUS, perhaps not in the context that you're thinking of, but I find it enlightening.
And I obviously asked Mr. Robertson, he can read through here. They talk about Ordinance 38 pump stations. They show you in the response back a clearing plan of areas that they will clear. There are no areas, and I've blown that little drawing up as big as I can get it, that shows areas for pump stations.
Okay.
So obviously there's gonna be more clearing than what's shown on that plan.
All right, so what else from the PLUS comments or, you know, and so on, having to do with the subject of tonight's hearing?
Equally in the comments, it talks about the length of the road and there must be a cul-de-sac every 300 feet for the fire trucks to turn around, and those are in the PLUS comments. Again, that does not show in the revised clearing plan that was been submitted here, and there would be several of them, minimum 30-foot radiuses at 300-foot intervals going down those roadways.
And I think we can move past that because I think the clearing plan is shown for the lot clearing. I don't know that you can draw from that that the clearing plan is detailed enough to show where a pump station would be or what the clearing would be, but I understand your comments.
I'll accept that. It shows the right of way and the, right. And the
that's a fair statement. Yeah. So I was wondering that myself as to just how much detail one could expect to be on that plan, but go ahead.
They also talked this evening about 22 and a half acres of open space, including stormwater management, and that would be maintained in a forested area was the statement that was made. Well, you're going to have some clearing done in those stormwater management areas any way you cut it, and I believe there's no question from the testimony here tonight there's going to be more areas taken out than what has been calculated. And I thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the items.
You got a question?
If you would be so kind, I know I've seen you here before,
yes,
but could you just give a little curriculum vitae of your credentials, your background?
My credentials is I have worked for an engineering firm as a project manager for 18 years. I am now with Artesian Resources, and I've been around the building business since 1974. In the development business, I was raised in the development family.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, who's next? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. We'll way up. Thank you.
I'm Mary Jane Simpler, and I live on Cave Neck Road. And there's no need for me to go back over what everybody else has said here tonight. But I would like to know why the letters that I have been sent have been returned. I didn't know anything about it until a couple days ago. I got a phone call. They said the letters had been returned to you all.
Well, we don't deliver the mail, ma'am, so I can't answer that question. I don't know why they were returned.
So is it a registered letter, or what was it?
No, ma'am, the commission is, as a matter of policy, sends letters out. It is not the legal requirement. The legal requirement is that it be advertised in the paper, which is what we do. And as a courtesy to the nearby neighbors, we try to mail out to folks, you know, within a given area. And apparently, for some reason, if your letters came back, I'm sorry. There was
a couple that did.
Yeah,
okay, I just wanted to clear that up.
But at least you got here tonight. Do you know about
yes,
it?
Yes, I did. Thanks to the neighbors.
I believe Shane's looking for them now in the file.
Okay.
They were mail returned.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And I'm sorry about the mix-up. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Counsel, about an hour ago, didn't we say something about leaving the record open for something? Or no?
That wasn't on this one. That was on the one prior.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. It's getting a little late. Pardon me. All right. There being no questions, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening and see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.